Blog Talk Radio.
And this is the Mr. Media interview. Cheryl Hines has one of the most challenging acting jobs on television. She plays Larry David's long-suffering TV wife on the HBO comedy Curb Your Enthusiasm, now in its sixth season. For years, many people have assumed she was David's real wife. And further complicating the premise, this year, is the news that David and his wife Lori have separated. What does this development mean for the show? Joining us today is the lovely Cheryl Hines, who hopefully can shed some light on where all this is going. Or maybe not. Cheryl, thanks for joining Mr. Media.
Thank you. It's fun to be here.
So there's been a lot of chatter lately about whether Larry's real-life separation from Lori David would be incorporated in the show. If so, I mean, that would seem to threaten your livelihood in some ways, so I wondered what your thoughts about this might be.
Well, here's the thing. We shot this season long before Larry and his wife got divorced.
Mm.
So you have to just bear that in mind while you're watching the season.
But you're asking a lot for people who can't separate reality from TV.
That's true. You've got a good point. Yeah.
Now, you've already shot the whole season.
We have, yes.
Right. And now I actually talked to Jeff Garlin a few weeks ago, and he said, to his mind, this is the last season. So it would seem that actually the discussions of whether or not the divorce was going to be incorporated is kind of superfluous.
Yes, it really is superfluous. However, that being said, I would not be surprised if we shot another season.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, I talked to Larry, and he... it's not out of the question, let's just say.
Hmm. Okay.
So, yeah, so that's kind of exciting. But, you know, ever since the first season, Larry acts like it's always our last.
Well, last season, I guess, was supposed to be the last.
Last season was going to be the last, but he lived.
Yeah.
He died, but he came back to life.
Now, whether or not Larry's divorce makes it into the show, one of the storylines, at least in the early episodes this year, has involved some flirtatious behavior between you and Ted Danson. And I wondered if maybe that was, if that was reflecting reality at all, or if that was just more good fun.
I think that's more good fun. But, you know, certainly Larry's very good at finding... commenting on human nature, I suppose, and what we do, and as a society, what we do. So I think he just thought it was very funny that, you know, married people can't really openly flirt that much, so our contact with each other is sometimes just hitting each other on the shoulder, and that's how that's how we flirt with each other.
And yet,
or as he says, that's as close as we can come to having sex with somebody else.
Now, men are often portrayed as being flirtatious in these shows, but women, married women, usually don't get that opportunity unless it's going all the way through.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now,
I mentioned when we started talking about people having confusion issues between reality and TV, and I was reading in the Curb Your Enthusiasm book that Larry's own parents were very upset and a little confused in the episode where Larry's mother dies. So,
well, you know, when Larry, I talked to Larry before he wrote that outline for that show, and he said, I've got a funny idea. My mother, well, what if my mother dies and I don't go to her funeral? I miss her funeral. And I said, that's not funny. And he said, oh, really? You what? I'll make it funny. And then, of course, you know, he writes it, and it is funny. But, yeah, sure, his parents have had moments of confusion.
Have you had other moments over the years where you looked at, now I know you work from the barest of outline. Have you, where you've had something and you said, you know, that just doesn't seem funny to me.
Well, when he died.
Yeah.
You know, he died and he said before we shot that scene, he said, no tears. And I was like, well, but you're dying. I'm supposed to watch you die and it's not sad. So he, you know, he has a way of really finding the comedy and everything.
That, you know, you make a great point, because watching that, I kept looking to you thinking, okay, she would be crying now, right?
Right. Believe me, I had to fight my instincts because it was sad. It was sad, and then, and I forget what actually made it into the show, but when we were shooting the scene, the idea was, right after Larry dies, I turn to his, to our attorney, and I say, you know, can we talk about the will?
Right.
And I was like, I don't feel comfortable saying this. Don't make me say it.
You would think you would at least be out of the room where the body is.
Yeah. But I think some of that did not make it to airtime, but it did make it to airtime that, you know, Jeff and I start talking about the cost of the car. We start haggling over the cost of the car right after Larry dies. So there are moments of it that are just like, oh, I have to fight my natural instincts.
Now, one of the most well-known developments in your character was, originally she was seen as probably going to be Jewish, but then over time it was clear, I guess to Larry, clear to you, that you weren't going to be Jewish. Were there other developments in your own character that you were particularly either proud of or found most interesting over time?
Well, certainly, you know, my character is involved with the NRDC and the environment, which mirrored Lori David's involvement with the environment. So it's been very cool for me, because I've it's been educational. I've learned a lot, and I drive a hybrid car now.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. So that's been interesting to me. But, you know, it's funny because I think in our first season, I'm said to have been an actor. So I did the vagina monologue in the first season, and then we never spoke of my acting career again. So it's interesting if you really watch the episodes, like what we carried through and what we just sort of dropped.
But I do remember, and I'll get the line wrong, but I mean, as I recall, your vagina is big in Canada, right?
My vagina is huge in Canada.
That's it. See, I knew,
yeah.
I was going to get it wrong.
Yes, people enjoy asking me how my vagina is. Yeah, because of the Wandering Bear episode. I'm having some problems because Larry wore a long-lasting condom inside out, and it made me have some problems. So then the Native American Indian that's helping us get rid of poison oak comes up to me and asks me how my vagina is. Just another day at work.
Now, the other thing I thought was interesting from the first season or two was reading that you guys shared a trailer, and I wondered if, going forward from here, if you do another series or something, if you would recommend that to your castmates.
I actually loved it. We had a great time together. I loved hanging out together. It was more of a, you know, you sort of have that experience when you do theater, because everybody's in the green room just hanging out. You only have one space. So I really liked it, actually. Hmm. But it is, you know, I remember when Ben Stiller and Christine Taylor did the show, and she was pumping at the time. She was still breastfeeding, and we're all in one trailer, and she would have to go in that tiny bathroom, and I was like, oh, this is probably not good for every occasion. So, yeah, it has its ups and downs.
Now, you came into that situation where Jeff Garlin and Larry Taylor. I'm sorry, Larry David and Susie Essman had known each other for some time. And I imagine it was probably good for you to be in that situation of close quarters from the beginning, because you probably got to know them and become part of the group a lot faster than if you were all going your separate ways after every shot.
You're absolutely right. You're so right, because sometimes you work on projects and you really never have a chance to, sometimes you don't even see the other people in the show or in the movie. So it's interesting that you say that, because I never thought about it, but you're right. It is a fun way to get to know each other personally, and since it's improvised, it was probably like a good carryover feeling that you could bring to the screen.
Well, I would think it would be that much more valuable, especially since the whole, not the whole, but I mean, one of the big aspects of the show is the improv, and so these three have dealt with each other and know each other. You're being thrown in. I guess you can't really overstate the importance of improv on that show.
Well, yeah, all of the dialogue is improvised.
Right.
So Larry writes a story outline, and then we improvise the dialogue. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's kind of a miracle to think that I was cast in this show, because, like you said, these guys already all knew each other, and I don't know. I don't think Larry knew Susie, but Susie and Jeff had worked together, and certainly Larry and Jeff. So I guess I was the odd man out. But you know, I clicked immediately with Larry. We just got along so well from the moment I sat down next to him. So I don't know. There was an ease to it all somehow.
Had you dealt with a character like Larry, and I mean a real-life character like Larry, before? I mean, have you ever dated someone?
Never. Most of the people I had dated or been friends with were kind of sunny-side-up people. So it was really fun to meet Larry and live in that world. Mm.
Well, Cheryl, how different was your approach to the improv in the sixth season than it was in the first season? And by the way, I'll point out, I do know that you have the Groundlings experience, and that, I mean, it was not like, you know, you hadn't done improv before. But how did your approach, and how did it all change for you over six seasons?
I would say that my approach is the same. I mean, you know, when you're doing an improvised show, it's really about listening and responding to whatever someone just said. So it's still the same approach. I would say the only thing that may be different is now that we've been doing the show for so many years, I feel like maybe if I said something and I knew that there was a glitch in it somehow, like maybe I heard an airplane going over, or Larry and I overlap dialogue or something, I might stop and say, you know, I'm just going to say this again, you know, or let me just take this one more time. So I feel comfortable enough to do that. But other than that, it's pretty much the same process.
Hmm. Now, do you have a particular improv moment that you're especially proud of? I know, and I'll give you an example that while you think about that for a minute. Jeff Garlin had said that his was, I guess when he and Larry were in his daughter's room and the shelf came down and they just kept going.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, there was a scene with me and Larry. I don't even remember what season it was, but where we thought that there was going to be a terrorist attack on Los Angeles, and I wanted to stay in town, and Larry wanted to leave. And so in the outline, that's all that was written, really. Then when we actually did the scene, it turned into this very soft-spoken scene where Larry and I were talking, and we were having this serious conversation, but I thought very funny, you know, where I was like, well, if something happens, don't you think we should be together? And he's like, actually, I think that's a little selfish. Just because one of us perishes does that mean the other one has to? And so we sort of went back and forth and just asking him what he wanted to do, you know, and one take he said he thought he'd go to a dude ranch. And I think the take that ended up on the air, he said, I thought I'd go to Pebble Beach. So just getting through that seed and really, I don't know, it unfolded into a scene that was never written, but turned out to be very funny, I think.
And now I'm thinking back on our conversation, and so he thought it would be selfish if you stayed together, and that so he would, if you perished in the crash or something, he would go to Pebble Beach. Well, earlier you had concerns about, at, you know, that he died, and you immediately wanted to talk about the will. So I think it all worked out. There's some karma there.
It's true. It's, none of us are that perfect, are we?
Yeah. Cheryl, how has being on Curb affected your other job opportunities?
Well, it's opened up a door into film and other television projects for me that I would have not had the opportunities otherwise, you know, or so it seems. I mean, when I looked to some event, this was pretty early on, and Ron Howard was sitting in front of me, and he turned around and said, "Hey, I love your show, and you're so great on the show," and I thought, oh my God. John Howard knows who I am. So it's been sort of that experience for me. I've had some really great filmmakers approach me or, you know, hand me opportunities that because they had seen my work on the show. So it's huge. You know, for me, it's just changed my life.
Well, and you co-starred with Robin Williams in RV. And I wondered again if the improv experience on Curb made that, first of all, made you that much more attractive to producers on that, and if it was easier for you to work with someone like Robin because you had been in that environment.
Probably because certainly, you know, Robin has a reputation of going off script, shall we say, and So when we were shooting, you know, he would go who knows where with it, and I would just roll with it. So there probably was, who knows, you'll have to ask Barry Sonnenfeld. But you know, Barry Sonnenfeld is another person that I hit it off with immediately, and we became friends and remained friends. So yeah, I'm sure improv may have been an attractive component, let's say, to that project.
I imagine there's been actors and actresses who've worked with Robin Williams over the years who were not as thrilled, shall we say, with him going off script.
Well, you know, if you're not used to improvising, it's a very scary place to be because so much of your your education. It's a better word for it. But when you're studying acting, you're taught to find all of your answers in the script because, you know, that's what it's all about the words and the script. So to some actors, that's where the project lives. And so when somebody goes off that script and starts doing something else, they can really be jarring.
And did you have an experience with Robin where he was basically doing a performance one-on-one with you going off script?
Oh, yeah. Every take. every take he'd do, you know, probably two takes by the book, and then one take he would say, "Can we do one just for me?" And then we'd do one, and he'd, you know, who knows what he'd do. You just have to be ready for anything.
Interesting. That'd be an interesting experience. It'd be very different than watching him even in concert than to have him, you know, doing a performance 3 feet away from you.
Oh, yeah.
1 foot.
Well, you know, he's so great. I love Robin so much, and he's really such a nice person. But he's either on, like 100% on, or he's super quiet. And when he's on, he'll perform for himself. You'll see him standing in the lunch line, like just doing bits. But who cares? Who listens? So yeah, it's but But, you know, when you're sitting there eating lunch with him, you do feel like, man, a lot of people would pay a lot of money to hear you right now going off on, you know, your french fries, whatever.
Well, Cheryl, you've been great. I've got, like, two more things, and we'll let you get out of here.
Okay.
You've a completely different topic, though. You've found a New Year's for your celebrity, I understand, promoting the Quaker Heart Smart Challenge. And I wondered what brought you into that.
Well, you know, my dad had a heart attack 2 years ago.
Oh.
And he's okay now. But, you know, he had to have surgery, and it was a very dramatic situation. And but we found out he had heart disease, and so it really sort of snapped me into thinking about health and having a healthy heart and all of that sort of thing. So it seemed like a good fit for me.
And what kind of things will you be doing with Quaker to promote this?
Well, we did a thing with Larry King, actually. We had a breakfast here in New York where we sort of kicked off the Heart Smart Challenge because we want people to go to QuakerOatmeal.com to sign up for the challenge. And every person that signs up, Quaker is going to donate $1 to the Larry King Cardiac Foundation. So that's what, you know, just sort of speaking out about it and letting people know about it.
Oh, that's very nice. As someone who has a lot of heart disease in the family, I appreciate that.
Oh, well, good. It's scary.
It
but
is.
Certainly, you know, it's definitely helpful to try to be preventative about it.
Well, when you see a parent be diagnosed with it or have a heart attack or just suddenly do the family history, then you suddenly realize you're more involved in it than you think you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, okay, last thing I want to ask you. There is a movie listed as being in production on your Internet Movie Database listing that sounds like a Curb Your Enthusiasm gag. Space Chimps. Can you elaborate?
Well, interestingly enough, Space Chimps is being directed by Barry Sonnenfeld.
Oh.
So I'm teaming up with Barry again. It's a... it's exactly what it sounds like, and it's an animated film. So, yes, I am voicing a chimp that goes to space. Hi, everybody. Yeah. But it's actually, I think it's going to be a really cute movie. You know, it'll be a family movie.
And you get that it does sound like something that Larry invented.
Oh, listen, believe me. Yes, I do know that.
Oh.
I can't wait to promote that movie, by the way.
Oh, I bet. Well,
yeah.
Cheryl, thanks so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Thank you.
And folks, remember you can catch Curb Your Enthusiasm every Sunday on HBO. And if you'd like to keep up with Mr. Media's Friday interviews, you can subscribe to the site via email at www.mrmedia.com. You can also subscribe to the audio feed in the podcast section of iTunes. Thanks for joining us. Please come back again next week for another Fridays with Mr. Media.